Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's certainly a festive time of year. If you're on Facebook Live, it's a festive studio in here. Evan, my intern, just blows this place out and decorates like crazy. You'd think you were at a big-time store, because he's got literally Christmas decorations everywhere. We have two trees. Holly jolly, beautiful time of year. Lots of people excited. A lot to look forward to. But here I am looking. I just Googled the holiday blues, holiday depression, and my, like WebMD. So all these different sites, WebMD, holiday depression and stress. Here's psycom.net, holiday depression, how to beat the holiday blues. We jump over to here. This is at health.com, holiday depression is real. Here's how to deal with it, according to psychologists. Jump over to the next one at Forbes, Forbes.com. Why does depression tend to increase during the holidays? How to spot the signs of depression and anxiety around the holidays? That's at Cedars-Sinai, one place after another. Healthline.com, holiday depression. Why is depression so common? Social isolation, grieving during the holidays. And it seems like there's a lot of challenges out there. In the season when things are bright and merry and beautiful, it sure seems that there's a lot of darkness out there as well. And not everybody's thrilled that we're on this side of Thanksgiving and we have Christmas a couple weeks in front of us. And for those of you that's the boat that you're in right now, the season that you're in, or maybe somebody that you know, maybe it's your spouse, a son or daughter, a friend, mother or dad, this is a show that we really are dedicated to doing every year to talk about how to get through the holiday blues. It is, of course, Theology Thursday, and our good friend Dr. Tate Cockrell is back in the house, who's the Associate Professor of Counseling here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, as well as the Assistant Director of Doctors of Ministry Program, and years of counseling himself. How are you, brother? Good to see you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Steve. Thanks for having me again.
You're very welcome. And, before we dive in, how's your semester been?
It's been busy. It's been busy, a little more chaotic than normal, but I always say that's job security, right?
That's exactly right, especially in your quote-unquote business.
That's
so
right.
This is something what is it about the holidays? Is it just all the typical things that a lot of people struggle with during the year, and then there's a force multiplying effect? What is it about the holidays that kind of makes this worse for a significant number of people?
I think you've got three things, Steve. I think one, you've just got, it's the normal stuff of life that tends to all culminate around this time of year, and you've got pressure for, you know, more finances and presents and parties, and it's just more stress in general during this time of year. So that's going to contribute to it. I think number two is just the expectation. We both wished each other Merry Christmas a while ago, and for some people, it's not a Merry Christmas for them. So part of what makes it hard is just the expectation that I'm going to be happy this time of year, regardless of circumstances. And then I think the third thing that we have is just individuals who, for this time of year, it is a reminder of hurt or pain or suffering or loss. Tomorrow will mark the 30, and we need to go back and calculate, I think it'll be the 32nd anniversary of my brother's death. And so, there'll be a missing table. Be a missing person around the table at Christmas for us. And you've got spouses who maybe their spouses has passed away, or maybe you've got somebody who's gone through a divorce, or maybe you've got someone whose spouse is deployed in another part of the world. And so it's a difficult time for them. There's loss associated with this time of year because someone's not there who should be there.
Do we typically kind of sweep it under the rug?
I think as a general rule, that's what happens, is we, with good intentions, we may just act like everything is okay. We put on a happy face. Or if we're encountering someone who's kind of got the holiday blues or they're down during this time of season, you know, we may say something like, you know, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about that, or, you know, that must be tough. But pretty quickly, we're going to try to move past that pretty fast.
And for those of us that aren't dealing with it ourselves, I generally don't think about this until we hit December, and then I'm like, and then it always comes back around to me that I got to get to you, I got to get to Tate and have this conversation. But do you think that those of us that are in a holly jolly mood and December's awesome, I think most of us struggle to kind of look around yeah. and notice that and be yeah. intentional about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think for a lot of people, too, they just love this time of year. And so they don't necessarily relate really well to people who don't see this as the holly jolly time of year that it is, because that's not the world that they're living in. And so if you're not really intentional, it's easy for you to miss the people around you who are suffering.
Yeah, I think sometimes they're going to be, oh, you know, bah humbug. Why right. are you being such a Scrooge? Why are you being the Grinch? All that kind of stuff.
Right.
Where there could be some really deep problems going on.
Yeah, there could be some situations where people are just, you know, they're just kind of being the Grinch. But in a lot of cases, what you're seeing is people who are carrying some pretty deep hurts with them. And it's almost like you take the normal suffering, difficulty of everyday life, and then you just multiply it exponentially. It seems to be around the holidays, the Thanksgiving, Christmas. Those things just seem to magnify, even if nothing else in their life changes.
Are there any types of mental or emotional challenges that can occur around the holidays that literally don't occur in the other seasons of the year?
I don't know that I would say that they don't occur at other seasons of the year, but certainly they wouldn't appear as accentuated during other periods of the year. I mean, you've even got, Steve, something we don't talk about very often is just seasonal affective disorder. Just this time of year, it's cold, it's dreary outside, it's rainy. It's, you know, I mean, in the summertime, if you plop Christmas in the middle of summer, it already gets a little bit better just because it's not, yeah. you know, it's not 17 degrees outside and potentially raining and dark and gray and gloomy and all of that. So, I mean, yeah, I certainly think that's possible.
And so where do we kind of go? Do we kind of self-diagnose? Because I want to come at this from two different directions. I want to make sure we spend most of our effort talking to the people that are feeling this way. But I also want to talk to the rest of us that are having a good month. This is a good season.
Yeah.
But maybe we know somebody that's struggling, or we just need to be more aware.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we definitely want to start with what those of us who are not necessarily in that holiday blues time, we have to have awareness, right? Like that's just a key word, I think, around this time of year is you just got to have awareness of what's going on in the lives of the people around you. So if you see them isolating, not going to a party, not showing up for work, being late, being quiet, being in a way that normally you don't see them, it might be an opportunity for us to step into their life, ask a few additional questions, not just automatically assume that everything is okay. Like particularly around this time of year, someone might actually be slipping into a little bit of depression. They might be slipping into a little bit of anxiety. They might be overwhelmed with a little bit of stress, and we don't need to just push right past that.
Yeah. Should we assume that there's probably somebody we know that's struggling?
I think it's pretty safe to assume that you know somebody who's struggling. They may not be someone immediately close to you, but I'll guarantee you know somebody who's struggling.
So we'll continue to talk about the signs and then help us understand, for those of us that are having a good season right now, how do we approach, how do we engage, how do we care for the people in our lives that are struggling with the holiday blues? Then we'll turn the corner and we'll talk specifically to you if you're having the holiday blues. How are you going to deal with this? How do you get out of it if you can? We'll be right back. I dare you to Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends that we do every week at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, a show that we like to do every year. Well, we don't like to do it, but it's important to do, and it's all about the holiday blues. Dr. Tate Cockrell is here with me. He was an excellent Christian counselor as well as a professor, a great friend. He's been a great friend to me personally, been a great blessing to our family and lots of other people that we know. Very, very, very capable. How many years have you been counseling now?
Over 20.
Yeah, so you've been at it a while.
Over 30,000 hours, I calculated. So it's a lot.
How are you not depressed and anxious and how do you carry that? How
you know
do you manage
what?
That?
You know what, Steve? I go to counseling myself.
You do?
I do. It's helpful. It is. It's very helpful. I go to counseling myself. I feel like if you're going to be if you want others to be healthy, you got to be willing to be healthy. And if you're going to tell people counseling is a good thing, then you ought to lead by example.
Yeah, what a great point. So we're talking about the holiday blues. We're going to talk about right now, kind of the for those of us that if we're doing okay, you're doing okay. You love the season. Things are pretty decent in your life. How do we look out for what's going on and around us, and how do we engage? And then we'll turn the corner and talk specifically to you if you are struggling with the holiday blues. And we have some people asking some questions on Facebook Live, but I want to go ahead and open up the phones. I don't usually do that. on Theology Thursday. Don't do it every day on the show, as many of you know if you listen regularly. But I want to make sure we give you the opportunity today, something specific going on for you or somebody that you know, and you just want to tap into what God has placed into Tate's capable head in terms of his experience with counseling and being able to help either you or somebody you know, a loved one, whatever it may be. So feel free to give us a call, and we want to give you that opportunity. 866-348-7884, as always, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Just give us a call. Your question for Dr. Tate Cockrell about dealing with the holiday blues, again, either for yourself or perhaps somebody you know, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. So what should we be looking out for? You kind of started that before, but I want to make sure we complete that. For those of us that are doing pretty good, what should we be looking for?
Yeah, so I think any general change in normal behavior where you see people not acting the way they normally look, you know, they seem down, they seem depressed, they seem quiet. They seem avoidant. They don't go to things that they normally go to. In men, Steve, here's a good one. In men, a lot of times, depression shows itself as anger more than it does depression. They feel more comfortable showing anger. So if you're dealing with some guys and they just seem to be more grumpy and irritable, it really could be that they're really more depressed. They're really more down than they are angry. And so that potentially is another big one as well.
Yeah, so something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
They don't seem themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Perhaps you know that they deal with depression or anxiety already.
Yeah, that's right. You know, they've already got a pre-existing thing. You know, you see them being overly emotional, or you may even see emotion that's just out of place, you know, like you would anticipate they would be this way, but they're a different way. So I think that's an important one as well. I think if they begin dropping even maybe some clues for you, you know, sometimes people will test the waters to see if they can trust you on whether or not they can disclose.
Give me some examples of what those clues would look like.
You know, I mean, somebody says, how you doing today? And they say, I'm okay. And that's
it.
Yeah,
just kind of that's it.
You know, yeah. I mean, and they just kind of leave it there. That's a testing the water, right? Like I just want to see if you'll engage. And if you won't engage, and if you're like, oh yeah, I'm doing fine too, and then you just rush right on, then they won't say anything else. But if you say, oh, that sounds unconvincing, you're doing all right?
Yeah.
And then if they begin to talk a little bit more, and then you ask more questions, invite more information, then they're much more likely then to open up.
Well, I was going to ask you about asking.
Yeah.
And what's the appropriate pressure, if you want to use that
I think
word.
It's appropriate just to ask, Steve. Here's the thing that I hear all the time, and that is people will say, well, you know, if they're not struggling or if they're not having a bad time, I don't want to bring it up and to cause them to feel that way, like if they've lost a loved one or something. And my response to that always is, if they have lost a loved one, they're already suffering. Like, they're already thinking about it, and you bringing it up isn't going to make it worse, right? Like, you being willing to talk about it's always going to make it better. It's always going to make it easier for them if you're the one that initiates it, because they're not going to be the one that's going to be like, hey, can I tell you how bad of a day I'm having?
Right.
Like, they're only going to talk about it if you press in and if you ask. So, yeah, maybe occasionally you press in and maybe the person doesn't want to talk about it, but by and large, I think the error is made far more on the us not engaging side than on us engaging and it not turning out well side.
At what point should we stop pushing?
I think if you try a little bit and they just kind of draw the line in the sand, like you can just tell, like, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, sometimes they'll just say that.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. As a counselor, sometimes I may push that maybe just one more time and just say, you know, well, are you sure that's a good thing? Like, you know, maybe talking about it would be a good thing. If they're like, no, like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, okay, well, if you – and then have the follow-up that's not just the drop, but, hey, well, just know I love you and care for you. And if you ever decide that you do want to talk about it, then let's have a conversation. Just
open
want
that
you to
door.
Know that's right.
Make the invitation.
You can't make them do it, but – if you can just let them know that you're there for them, it'd be a huge help for them.
Yeah, it's so important. 866-348-7884 if you want to call in and ask Dr. Tate Cockrell a question. It is Theology Thursday. He's one of the professors here at Southeastern Baptist, but also has done 30,000 hours of professional counseling himself. And so he's quite a gift for all of us to be able to have access to that. So if you have any questions about dealing with the holiday blues yourself or somebody you know and you want to ask those, feel free to give us a call, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. On that note, for those of us trying to help others, Tony, who actually was just on the other day and shared his testimonies, said, This is on Facebook Live. You can join us on Facebook as well. Just go to the Steve Noble Show. Tony asked this question. I've got a cousin whose husband died in a motorcycle accident a month ago. What would you recommend for others to do for her? So there's an obvious massive loss, grief, mourning.
Yeah.
And this is the first Christmas season that they've been without that person. And this one, obviously, very fresh. But how do we engage that?
Man, engage, that's a key word. Like just make sure you do something. Like, don't – here's the thing that I can't stand whenever we try to minister to people who are going through this. We say, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. And the person who's grieving such a significant loss, particularly this time of year, they don't know really what they need, and they often feel uncomfortable with asking for help. So put yourself in their shoes and say, what is it that I might need? What, you know, what I want somebody to come by and see me, what I want them to bring me a meal, what I want them to just to sit and drink coffee with me, what I want them to come by and do my laundry or take my kids to the movies or go to the grocery store. Just simply engage. Like, ask. But don't just ask, is there anything I can do? Let me know. But say, can I come by and do your laundry? Can I come by and pick up your kids? Can I come by and pray with you? Can I come by and just sit? We don't even have to talk.
Right.
But can I come by and just be with you? Can I just give the power of presence in your life? Just be willing to engage, and don't wait on them to reach out to you. You be the proactive one to reach out to them.
Well, and on that point, we'll hit a break in about a minute. But on that point, it sounds like it's okay. It's enough for us to just be present.
It's absolutely enough for you to be present. In fact, you know, my rule of thumb for years in working with pastors, when they go into crisis scenarios, situations where they're working with people who are hurting, just remember this phrase, show up and shut up.
Yeah.
Just show up and shut up. You don't have to have all the answers. And chances are there's going to be not going to be one word or one phrase or even one Bible verse that's going to cure whatever the hurt is that they're going through. But if you're willing to show up and just be there and love them and care for them and walk the journey with them, that means far more to them than trying to give them the magic pill answer that's going to make them all better.
And I would imagine that women are pretty comfortable doing that. Men are not,
right?
But we should be.
We should be.
Yeah, just showing up.
That's right.
It might be bring a cup of coffee.
That's right.
Anything. Just serve them and love them, and then just be there. And whether they want to talk or not, it's up to them. Talking to Dr. Tate Cockrell, 866-34-TRUTH and the Holiday Blues. We'll be right back. Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking today on Theology Thursday with Dr. Tate Cockrell, who's an excellent Christian counselor and a professor here at the seminary. Talking about the holiday blues right now, we're looking at the perspective of those of us that are doing okay and looking out for the people around us and paying attention to those signs, and then how to engage, how to be a blessing to them, and really to minister to people well. And then in just a few minutes, we'll turn the corner and talk directly. If you're struggling with the holiday blues, we asked, we were doing a little bit off the air on Facebook Live with some questions we're getting from our friends on Facebook Live. So I want you to be able to take advantage of that. If you have any questions today for yourself or for somebody you know, somebody perhaps that you're worried about this holiday season and you want to just get a little help from Tate, give us a call. We'd be happy to extend you that invitation here today. 866-348-7884 is the number. Please don't hesitate. If you don't want to give your name, you don't have to. You don't have to tell us where you live. I just want to make sure you don't miss this opportunity. If the Lord's kind of nudging you and you're like, I really should call, but I'm nervous, or I don't want to sound stupid if I say something wrong, don't worry about any of that. If the Lord is nudging you and you feel like you should pick up the phone, then go ahead and do it, and take advantage of the help that you can get right now. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. So, Tate, practical things. We see personality changes. They're just kind of down. Hey, how you doing? I'm okay. But we started to talk about this, the ministry of presence, just showing up. So some practical things that we can do, and then maybe some things that we shouldn't do.
Yeah, so definitely provide a meal, go over to somebody's house, ask them to come to your house. We talked about inviting people to celebrate the holidays with us. You know, hey, come stay with us. Come celebrate with us and with our family. We'll be your surrogate family, you know, during the holidays. I think that's a good thing. I think a big thing is you said what not to do. Here's the cardinal sin in the midst of all this. And that's minimization, right? When we try to make light of it like it's not a big deal. It's like somebody says, man, this is a really tough year for me. Like, you know, my husband's in Afghanistan, or, you know, my wife died or whatever. And we do the, well, you know, it could be worse, or, you know, the we quote Romans 8:28 to them, you know, as if it's going to, you know, just cure all of their ills. as opposed to really understanding them and validating them and being like, man, you're that's tough. I mean, like, I really hate that for you, and that must really be difficult. Validation is a really, really important thing. And so minimization is the enemy of that.
Well,
right?
I was going to ask you, because Steve on Facebook Live asked that question, Dr. Cockrell, what are good ways to not minimize someone's depression? That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of hearing that people are dealing with depression is not uncommon anymore.
It's not.
And I think because we hear it fairly often, perhaps we have a tendency to minimize it.
Right, right. That's right. And one of the ways that you not minimize it is you be willing to talk about it. Be willing to ask questions about it. Be willing to be uncomfortable having a conversation about something that you may not fully understand, but your mentality is, I just want to be there for the other person. Steve, you and I were kind of talking about off the air, as guys, as fixers sometimes, you know, we're not okay with that. We're not okay with not being the guy who's got all the answers. But I found with a lot of guys, it's pretty freeing for me whenever I tell them, you don't have to have all the answers, right? Like, how you can not minimize it is just be willing to be there with them and not try to fix them right there in the moment. Like, I feel the necessity, you know, Steve, you're talking to me and I think you might be depressed. How can I cure you in the 20 minutes that we're going
to have a
conversation?
Right, we're trying to move the needle over lunch.
That's right. That's right. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be helpful. I get that. But sometimes I use this analogy or this kind of acronym in my counseling all the time. It's called LUVA. Listen, understand, validate, and act. Listen, understand, validate, and act. And sometimes we hear, so we're listening, but we don't yet understand. We haven't yet validated, but we're already jumping to a solution.
Oh, man.
And the person that we're talking to is thinking, dude, you don't even know half of my story, and you're already telling me what I should be doing how I could be different or how I could be better. But, like, I don't even feel like you understand a tenth of what I'm talking about. So listen, understand, validate, and act. That is a great way for you to avoid minimizing any issue, really. But certainly with depression, people oftentimes, the one phrase I hear from depressed people as they're talking to their friends and family members is, you just don't understand. That's what they say over and over and over again. You just don't understand. And until they feel like you do understand it, any advice you try to give them is really just going to fall
on deaf
ears.
That's kind of a dead end at that point.
It is a dead end.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we got to really listen for that. If you want to ask a question for Dr. Cockrell, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Going to go to the phones right now. Monique's calling in, Greensboro, North Carolina. Monique, thanks for calling. And go ahead with your question for Dr. Cockrell.
Well, God bless you both. And thank God for you doing this. I don't hear this. I don't know. I've been walking with God very truthfully, very wholeheartedly for years, and I don't hear any more than, and for all of you who aren't well, God bless you. And then they move on back to everybody that's well. So that's the first thing. Thank you for even doing this show. Now, I went to school to be a marriage and family therapist. I don't know, Steve, you get so many people that call about, you know, the call questions for you, but I called a while ago. I'm on dialysis. I called in on a healing show. I'm only 40. They have no idea why I'm on dialysis. I have been for over 9 years. I'm trying to do this part quick because it's all the basics.
Yeah, it's okay.
My mother passed away. I watched her die. That's when I went to kidney failure. My brother went through a boom. My dad got remarried. Boom. So I don't have any support system at all here. And on top of that, it's a constant fight in the medical system just trying to get, you know, things done. So everyone, and I mean everyone, and God has gifted me. This is the thing. God has gifted me. Strangers on the street walk up, mighty word. The person says that this broke off, that broke off. But even in my natural life, people that can't be, they're too familiar to recognize it. They come to me and they pull for me. But here I am on dialysis every other day of my life. That has gotten worse as far as the travel time. Thank God I don't look sick. I'm not actually sick, but dialysis is every other day of life almost 10 years now. I've done it by myself. The only two places my heart has been connected, I watched those people die. I watched my mother die, like, in my face. I watched my best friend die, like, in my face. I have no family. I'm not married. I don't have children. So not only is this time of the year, but that LUVA acronym you gave, that is exactly what never happens. And I am very descriptive with my talk. I know I come this way. I come that way. I come this way. And for whatever reason, I can't translate it. You know, people will start shooting out the dumbest things to say in situations. Like, I mean, the absolute, even if you don't know about dialysis, you don't know about disengaged needles, you don't know about the thrown up, you don't know about the cramps, you don't know about the best up system. Even if you don't know that, you know that it's every other day of life. And so I try to tell, think if you could take away every single break you had. And by break, I mean a day and a half or more. that you've had for any reason at any time. So this is too much. I've got to go. And for the last decade, erased all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. And then add life to that. And then add just normal life to that. Then add the holidays to that. This is what I've gone through straight. I am 40. I'm not even going to, that's the abridged version. I am 40, and I don't even have a
you're
person.
Young.
Mm-hmm. It was traumatic that I even started it. So I can't find anyone to relate. That's why I said all that. Who is 40, not married, and not trying to be vain, but really easily I could go out and date. Nobody knows until I tell them. I get confidence every day. Praise God, because he preserves me like that. But who is not married, has been through all that, watched their mother die who had a stroke and aneurysm when they were 10, Christmas, so they can. See, the holidays have been like that for years. She didn't die then, but Christmas very traumatic. When I was 10, of course.
So, Monique, okay. if you were boiling all that down into a question for Tate, what would it be?
Yes, it would be, where do I go? Because who relates to that? And I was trying to be a therapist, so I feel like if the person doesn't truly know God, they can't tell me anything, and that's why I haven't gone into it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know God, you're not going to know my life. I wouldn't be going if I didn't know
difficult.
God. I quit a long time ago.
Yeah, tough. Yeah, and this is a rubber meets the road kind of question. Where does she go? It's a great question. Monique, stay on the phone because I want to give Tate a chance to respond. Go ahead, Tate.
Yeah, I think a couple of places you go. One, you go to your church, and you always got to be careful. You can't automatically assume that just because you go to a local body of believers.
Okay, so you don't have a local church, is that right, Monique?
Well, let me say this. Yeah, I went to the church. You know what they told me? I don't know what to tell you. That's what they told me. Not even the scripture.
So what do you do? Go to another church.
I'd try a different church. I would. I really don't want to trivialize that, but I think I would start with the church. And the other thing that I would say is that because you've been trained as a marriage and family therapist, you know the value of counseling. Go sit down and have a conversation with a counselor, with someone that you know is trained to listen well, who's trained to validate well, who's trained to seek to understand you, who can walk that journey with you as you're building a support system. Because it's a hard thing to build a support system as you're looking for a church and trying to find a biblical community. That's a hard thing to do by yourself. Like, you still need a support around you. And I'll be honest with you, over the years, I've been that support for some people. I mean, I've been that guy that, you know, they didn't have a mom, they didn't have a dad, they didn't have a spouse, you know, they were estranged, abandoned, abused, whatever the situation is. And I was really their sole source of kind of levity during the course of, man, I know that I can come here, and even though you may not give me all the answers, at least I know I'm going to be heard and understood. And I would say go see a counselor if that's at all possible while you're doing these other things, while you're looking for a church family, while you're seeking meaningful relationships within the context of a biblical community. Because, Monique, I agree with you 100%. If people don't know God, if they're not walking with Jesus, it's really hard for them to give really good advice that's going to be trusted by you as a believer.
Like walking with him for real, though, not the
right.
That's right.
Stuff. Exactly.
That's where I don't relate.
Yeah, because you obviously, and I'm just up against the break, Monique.
Yeah.
But we'll follow up. I have a couple more questions for Tate with respect to that. So keep listening, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Just keep listening on the radio. God bless you. And that's a tough one. I got a couple other questions there in terms of how do you find a good counselor, and how do you approach a church? Because for a lot of people, they're doing it on their own, not necessarily by choice. We'll be right back. Right. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream, this world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, here today with Dr. Tate Cockrell, who's a good friend of ours, a good friend of the show, excellent Christian counselor, and also one of the professors out here, talking about the holiday blues. And we've kind of looked at both sides of the coin for those of us that are doing pretty good, to look out for the folks that are around us. And then if you're dealing with the holiday blues yourself, and if you have a question, something you're dealing with, just like Monique, who called in a few minutes ago, then give us a call. We have this last segment, so I wouldn't want you to miss the opportunity to ask that question and try to get some help. 866-348-7884. Again, please do not hesitate. Just pick up the phone and call and ask your question, and Dr. Cockrell will be happy to address it and talk to you about it. 866-348-7884 or 866-34 Truth, and on Facebook Live as well, if you just want to type your questions in. We're looking at that, so we'll incorporate those before we run out of time. Back to Monique for a minute, and I asked you this question off the air. Somebody in Monique's situation, very difficult, not much of a support system around her. Anybody with that, should they go out of their way to you got to avoid that? You do. In the long run, right?
Yeah, you do. You know, this is me giving advice too quickly for Monique, but I can, you know, it's a radio show, so I mean, I don't have 45 minutes, right, to fully get to know Monique. But what I would say is that the enemy doesn't want her to be in community.
That's right.
Like when we're in the place where Monique is, where she's hurting and she's suffering and she's alone, he wants to keep her in that place. The last thing that he wants is, you know, what Galatians tells us in Galatians 6, to bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. He doesn't want that to be a reality in Monique's life. And so she needs to do everything that she can. If the church that she went to didn't help her, then she needs to try another church and keep trying churches until she finds one that she can see, hey, this church is doing a good job at caring well for not only its members, but caring for their neighbors as well.
And when you contact the church, do you just put everything on the table? Would you suggest that? Or,
you know, here's what I would do, Steve, just as a very practical thing for if you really want to find, like, where's a church that cares. Like, I would say if they've got a website, go to their website and see what kind of ministries they offer. And so if they do things like support groups, grief recovery groups, you know, addiction groups.
Divorce care.
They've got a counseling ministry. There's pretty good indication that they're going to do well at caring well for their people, and they're going to establish a culture of care in their church. That's before you ever even visit a church the first time, I would be checking that kind of stuff out.
Yeah,
and then
great.
That way, if they've got some of that, you would know, okay, well, here's at least a church who's trying to do those things. They may not be doing it as well as they could, but at least they're making an effort to care well for their people and for the community.
Yeah, it's present. It's a part of what they're presenting to the community.
Right.
This is what
they see it as a vital ministry. Right. They see care and compassion ministry as a vital part of what they're doing as a church.
So, and then because you suggested her find a counselor. Obviously, we're always going to point people towards a Christian counselor.
Yeah.
So, because the thing about a Christian counselor is you don't have to, sometimes you're going to have to, but you can immediately have somebody that's going to listen.
Right.
Validation, advice. Right. You don't have to date.
Right.
You don't have to go through this whole process.
That's right.
You just get on the highway and you're in it.
That's right.
But how do you find a quote-unquote good Christian counselor?
So there's a couple of ways you can do it. The single best way is word of mouth through people that you know who've already been helped by a counselor. Now, that requires some vulnerability on your part to say, hey, have you ever been to a counselor? Do you know of a good one in the area? But there's your best place if someone can say to you, yes, I went and saw whoever, and he really helped me, she really helped me, that's a great first place to start. Second place to start would be to contact churches in the area. Hey, do you guys have counselors on your church staff, or do you have recommendations or referrals that you utilize? A lot of churches that don't do care and compassion ministry or counseling ministry specifically, because the church is oftentimes the first place that people turn, oftentimes, I would say more oftentimes than not, they have a very very well-developed referral network that they can say, oh, yes, here are people that we've checked out. Here are people that we've sent individuals to, and they've been helped as a result of that. And so that's another great place to start. Then let me give you a website that'll be helpful for you to go to as well. So www.aacc.net, AACC, so Alpha Alpha Charlie Charlie .net. That's the American Association of Christian Counselors. There's a button on their homepage that says find a counselor.
Wow, right there.
And if you click it, you can type in your zip code, you can type in your street address, and it will tell you all of the counselors that are members of AACC as well as their corresponding licenses, certifications, kind of counseling that they do. It'll give you all of that information. Now, before you just go see one of those people, I would do a little bit of research on whoever is on their website because, you know, obviously they've got a lot of counselors and so quality control sometimes. You know, there may be a little bit more work that you need to do, but at least that'll give you a start to say, here are some counselors in my area that I might be able to check out. Or I could at least ask, hey, does anybody know this counselor? You familiar with this counseling agency? So that's another opportunity for you to go there, aacc.net.
All right, so taking that one, finding a good Christian counselor and doing that much sooner than later. What are some other practical things that people can do? If I'm feeling down, I'm depressed, I just lost a loved one, it's my first Christmas without my spouse, a child, whatever. What are some practical things that they can be doing outside of help from a Christian counselor?
I would say first, get out of your house. Walk, exercise, those are always helpful. Activity is a good thing. Serve, be around other people, learn to give back to individuals, church, community service projects, homeless shelters, always looking for help around this time of year. And so oftentimes going in and serving is a great way for us to kind of get out of the doldrums.
And getting your mind off of it and distraction isn't necessarily bad.
It's not bad. It is not. It's not bad. Again, I would say that distraction, I do not want that to be our only coping mechanism,
right.
But it is most certainly a valid coping mechanism during this time of year.
So find a place to serve.
Yep.
Get out of your house.
Yep.
It's okay to do some things that are just a distraction.
Yep. Do something you enjoy. I mean, find, if you've got a hobby, you enjoy playing golf, you enjoy playing the mandolin, whatever. You know, even if you're not feeling like it, this is an important thing, Steve. In all of these instances, whenever we give like practical tips, the number one pushback against any of those practical tips is, I don't feel like it.
Right.
And I'm like, I understand you don't feel like it, which is the very reason why I'm telling you to go do it, is because oftentimes the behavior is going to have to precede the emotion. You're not just suddenly going to wake up and all of a sudden feel like doing these things. You're going to go do these things even when you don't feel them, so that those negative feelings begin to go away and you begin to enjoy the things that we're talking about doing. So sometimes the belief or the behavior needs to precede that feeling.
Yeah, so don't follow your emotions around.
No. Listen, I say this all the time. Feelings are fickle, man.
I mean,
they are very fickle, and they'll betray you. I mean, they're, one minute you'll feel one way, and then, 20 minutes later you'll feel some other way.
Yeah.
And so you feelings do not have to drive you. They impact us, but they don't have to be the thing that we base all of our decision-making off of. Sometimes we just need to muster up enough will to be able to say, I know I don't feel this way, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do it just because I know it's the right thing to do, even if I'm not necessarily feeling it.
And do be around people.
Yes, be around people. Be around people that are going to be life-giving,
right,
for you.
So
be around people that are going to be life-giving.
Good boundaries.
Right? That's right, good boundaries.
So if there's people that are bringing you down,
don't do that.
Spend time
Do that. Don't do people that are going to exacerbate the problem, right? I mean, we want to be around people that are going to be life-giving for us. But, don't sit at home and isolate. I mean, depression is only going to get worse if you isolate yourself. I mean, I think in virtually every instance, it's just going to make it worse.
And two biggies, and we'll be done 2.5 minutes. Two biggies, medication.
Yep.
And then what if somebody's dealing with suicidal thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Medication is certainly an option, even if you don't normally take something. But situationally, you want to go talk to your doctor about taking a psychotropic medication that will help you feel better just during this period of time, just to kind of level the playing field to get you over the hump. Absolutely consider doing that. If you're feeling suicidal, if you're feeling like you want to harm yourself, man, please reach out for somebody. I've said for years, people don't attempt suicide because they want to die. They want to attempt suicide because they don't feel like they have any options.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of options. And all the options are better than the one that you're thinking about. And so reach out to somebody and say, I don't feel well. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling suicidal. I don't know what to do. Talk to somebody.
Now, in that case, even the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
That's right.
We're not going to be nitpicky about that.
No, I do care who you call.
Sure.
But when you're suicidal, I just say call somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that if you call them and say, I'm thinking about taking my life, that they're going to say, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like they're going to say, man, your life is of value. You mean something. And there's other options. I don't care how bad it is. There's other options that are out there.
And I think one of the things that, and we've talked about this before, we've done entire shows on this before, when it comes to medication, I think we're still in the church. We still struggle with, some of us struggle with this one.
Yeah.
Saying, you just don't go to the pill. You need to go to the King. You need to go to the Word. You need to go to prayer. Of course you do.
Yeah.
But we're not poo-pooing medication.
No. In fact, I get really frustrated having to have this conversation over and over again, but we have to continue to have it because people in the church, oftentimes they feel like if I take the medication, somehow I'm not trusting God. If I take the medication, somehow I don't have enough faith.
Yeah.
We don't do that though, Steve, in any other area of life except
right.
for counseling.
Right.
You know, we don't tell people who take, insulin, you don't have enough faith in God to cure your diabetes. If we say, you got to take, something for high cholesterol, we don't say you don't have faith and you're not trusting God. But somehow, when it comes to our emotions, if people take a medication to help manage that for a period of time, somehow we're going to tell them that they're not having faith. And that's just crazy. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy and it's unloving. Ultimately.
It is.
Yeah. Dr. Tate Cockrell here at Southeastern. Excellent. Christian counselor and professor. Always great to have you in here. Thanks for being willing to come do this.
Man, always pleasure to be with you, Steve.
Thank you so much. And there, I put up the suicide prevention information on the Facebook page. So if you're down that road and you do not do this alone, you got to talk to somebody, get to somebody. Suicide prevention. The link is there. The hotline is out there, which is pretty easy. 800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. Make sure you share this show today on Facebook or when the podcast comes out. It's so important that we deal with this time of year. This is Steve Noble. God willing, I'll talk.